But as we have the opportunity to speak in our own language, I'm going to speak in Portuguese.
Dear colleagues, good morning. Welcome to our colleagues from the European Parliament. It's a pleasure to be able to see you again, people with whom I have spent wonderful times. We are going to start our meeting. I will be the chair as chairman of the European Affairs, and my colleagues, chairwoman and chairman on housing, education and science, and environment and energy. It's a pleasure for us to be here. It's one of our goals to have regular meetings with our European colleagues. We have spent a week ago on an initiative promoted by ARCO, and we have tried with European parliaments to have an exchange of ideas on a regular basis. The rules of the game will be as follows. I will pass on the floor to my colleagues in the panel for them to give you some welcoming words. The closing words will be given by the European Parliament on Research and Energy, and then I will pass on the floor to the EP nationals and in Europe and in Portugal. We will have one first round of questions for all the members of Parliament to be able to give a word with the national and European members by decreasing order. I will not take long. It's really a pleasure to pass on the floor to my colleague, chairman of the Committee on Economy, Public Works, Planning and Education. Good morning. My role is very simple, to wish you. I know you are well in Portugal. You are doing a number of visits, high quality visits, to know the country and the main institutions in Lisbon and surrounding areas. It is also important for you to understand how this works, and I'm really aware, I have had a contact with the Portuguese colleagues at the European Parliament, and I realize that you have had very interesting meetings in order for you to understand the reality in research, economy, industry, health, agriculture, and also the City Council has been very interesting. So from our side, as chairman of the Economy Affairs, I wish you a very good meeting. I'm sure it will be beneficial, and the capacity for us to have a relation in the European Parliament and the European Parliament will be more interesting and important both for Portugal and Europe. My special greetings to all of you, and also a good stay in Portugal. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the EP members and all the committees with us. Good morning to the Portuguese members of Parliament and everyone with us. That this will be a good moment of your visit to Portugal. I know you have had the opportunity to be with the members of government, local power, and to have been welcomed by the City Council of Lisbon in the main hall. And also to be able to be with members of research and development, for you to have a beneficial meeting with our discussion. And I welcome the members of the Committee on Environment and Energy that started their work a while ago in this mandate. And it will be a challenge to put in place the basic law on climate. It's one of the challenges the government has and the Portuguese society, and we count on the European Parliament and the European institutions for us to put in place this challenge, which was put into practice in enforcing the basic law, and which will be enforced by the Parliament in Portugal and by the Portuguese in general. Thank you very much and a good job. Mr. Alexandre Quintanilha, thank you. I will be very short because welcoming words have already been given to the European members of Parliament, and I would also would like to greet the members of Parliament of Portugal who are here as well. To me, it is an opportunity, a special opportunity, because the challenges we are facing today are so complex that need a dialogue between different areas of knowledge. And therefore, to bring the three commissions of the Portuguese Parliament to this meeting to have a dialogue with the Committee on Industry, Research and Energy in Europe shows clearly that this dialogue is key between not only different domains of knowledge, but also in the governance of countries and legislations that we need to develop. So I hope that this will be beneficial, because Europe and the future of Europe and the future of the planet will depend on what we will be able to do with the consensus of the several domains of knowledge. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the welcoming words given, I will pass on the floor to my colleague who is here on behalf of the chairman of ITRE.
And we are very pleased to be such a beautiful place and invitation. Unfortunately, Mr. Bouchoy had to leave because he has a very important meeting in the Switzerland, and I am the first vice chair, so I have to take this duty to replace him as a chair. So we, as you said, we are ITRE committee, so we had a very interesting talk yesterday with many ministers on the policies in the science, energy, climate. Very impressive presentation, I must say, that my knowledge about Portugal and achievement of your country deepened also very much, and it's really very important, such a study, such a mission, such a visit. I hope that we will continue this discussion, but you also mentioned this, that there's a general question probably we have also to discuss, relation between national parliaments and European parliaments, also in the context, what current debate about future of Europe, future of Union. But let me at the beginning also introduce my colleagues. I am from ECR group, which is a small conservative fraction in European Parliament. But we have here also representative of the almost all groups besides the Greens, but unfortunately the colleague from the Greens party couldn't join that, and also the left. But we have from EPP, from the Christian Democrats fraction here, four members, Maria da Graça Carvalho, you know very well, and Christian Eller from Germany, Sean Kelly from Ireland, and Pernille Weiss from Denmark. Yeah, so it's our EPP, Christian Democrats. Then we have here Socialists and Democrats, Robert Hasel from Slovakia, Dan Nika, who is Romanian member of the Parliament, done, okay. And Carlos Zorinho, also known to you from Portugal. And then for on Renew, we have from Italy, Nicola Danti, and Ivas from Latvia. Okay. So this is our very representative delegation of ITRE. Then once again, thank you for invitation, and we can go to our discussion.
Iniciar agora a ronda.
We will start now the round of interventions. I have a long list, so we'll follow the good example from the European Parliament. So each speech should not exceed 2 minutes, and I will change from the Portuguese and the European members. So I will pass on the floor immediately to Mr. Hugo Costa from the Committee on the Economy from the Socialist Party.
Thank you very much. I would like to greet the delegation of the European Parliament, and in the context of what the Committee of the Public Works, and which has had a great responsibility right from the very beginning. And so I would like to talk about two essential points in these 2 minutes. First of all, the need for the community funds, so that is the resilience plan, to meet the challenges of the digital transition and the IT. And as you know, we have 6.6 billion euros of the PPR and 1.9 in subventions. And another crucial point for us is the question of digitalization. Portugal has, at this moment, the law of electronic communications up to discussion. And so the law of electronic communications is a very advanced phase, and the specialized aspect hasn't been ultimated yet. And so with the preparation of the country for 5G is absolutely crucial, and that is why we have to end this legislative process. And one of the major challenges that we have is the transposition of this law on electronic communications. And so in the PPR and Portugal 2030, the capitalization of companies within the context of the PPR, the idea was to promote the capitalization and access to capital of financial companies. And so this is absolutely important. So I would like to conclude by saying that I would like to say I'm very pleased about this initiative, and so the three thematic committees, and I think that together we can go further. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Hugo.
Thank you very much, Hugo. Now I'd like to give the floor to the European Parliament, the colleague Graça Carvalho from the EPP. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like to greet all the chairman and the Portuguese members of Parliament and all those present. I would like to thank you very much for being so ready to come to this meeting in such a busy week. And you managed to find a time in your agenda for us to exchange a few words. Very briefly, I'm going to tell you the position of the PPR in the more major four dossiers, beginning by scientific research and innovation, where the PPE defends an increase in the science budget to, in order to bridge the gap between us and other countries, and there's a link between the public sector and the private sector. And here we have promoted public and private partnerships in the area of science, and I was a rapporteur. We have 11 partnerships, and Portugal still has a small participation, and we need to work more to increase the national participation in these areas. And so environment and energy, this is the major dossier of the time after the law, the climate law, the 5 for 55. We have about 17 dossiers which are going to completely change many of the rules rules of the economy and of society, and we were a group that has an ambition in the area of the climate, but we have to give more time, especially the beginning, and then later on with kind of a rush, we'll be a little bit more hasty, we have to give the SMEs more time to make this transition. And we want a transition not only based on the regulations, but one based on technologies, clean technologies, and accessible from an economic point of view. In an industry, we are now working on industrial strategy, and I am the rapporteur in the Internal Market Committee, and industrial strategy, which is based on emerging technologies, biotechnology, and with a very little bureaucracy, and we need more human resources in this emerging areas in Europe. And we mustn't forget the women who need that we need to attract to these areas. And finally, digital PPE defends that that we need a more assertive Europe with a greater leadership in the digital area, and that is why we need to be able to produce in this area. And so we have done a great deal in recent years, and we have to invest in technology and the future infrastructures and human resources, but we defend an open economy where the strategic autonomy is based on our ability to research and to be good at technicians, good engineers and researchers, and not based on protectionism. These are the main rules that we defend. And as I said, this is the governor of the PPE in this area, with Mr. Ella, we have tried to impress on the different dossiers, and we want to collaborate with national parliaments, and that's going to be an awful lot of work to do in 2024. And so thank you very much. Thank you very much, Grasa. I would like to say I've got three people from European parliamentarians. I would like to know whether any other parliamentarians would like to intervene. And if you want to, please let me know, because if this is the case, we can give a little bit more time to our European colleagues. For the Portuguese side, we have quite a few people who would like to take. I'd like to give the floor to the PSD. Who would like to take the floor first? And Donatop Gomes or Paulo Menezes? Paulo Menezes, you have the floor. Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to greet all the presidents, and I'd like to give my special welcome to the members of the European Parliament. I would like to address an aspect that's got to do with the energy autonomy of Europe, which is on the agenda because of the problem of the war that we're living through at this time. We saw in a study from the Political and Strategic Analysis Center from the University of Columbia, that whether we like it or not, Russia still has the dominion of the chain, energy chain. And so this is a fact in the sector that we cannot ignore. Second aspect, if we look at nuclear energy, EDF is at the moment faced with a breakdown of 12 reactors in its power plants in France, and faces a problem of over £3 billion pounds in the UK. So the EDF has got a problem that results from the bad technical functioning of its nuclear reactors, and we are faced with a Russia that clearly dominates this supply chain, and I will highlight in a global context. Now, energy is particularly the energy autonomy is particularly important because it's not only important to get energy autonomy in relation to the capacity of Russia in terms of nuclear, but at the same time, it's to carry out a transition, an energy transition that will lead to this energy autonomy. Now, this is a major challenge that I believe that, that we all faced with within the PRs and the PPR and the guidelines of the committees and the European Parliament, or the Commission and the European Parliament. Another aspect I would like to mention has got to do with the with industrial autonomy. Europe has got two areas that it doesn't lead. One is the dimension of software. We are essentially consumers and not producers. And the area of the semiconductors, which affects us in the automobile industry, classical industries, and the and the digital systems technology, and energy and industrial autonomies are important vectors in Europe and the European independence in relation to the emerging blocs in the framework of the challenge that is imposed on us by the Ukraine war. I would like to say that I would like to thank you very much for having come to listen to us and to share your views. Thank you very much, Paolo. I know it's very difficult to talk only for 2 minutes, I would like to thank you for keeping it short. And I would like to give the floor to Carlos Zurinho from the group SND. Good morning. Thank you very much. You should never go. This says you should never go back to a place where you were happy, and I've always been very happy here. Yes, visit of the industry and energy committee in Portugal has a very important aim that is to close the ties between the two parliaments and to meet the global changes, which are not new, challenges which are not new, but up to a certain extent they are faced with the consequences of the pandemic and the challenges and the conflict that we are living through, and at a time when the response that we have to give has to blend different types of challenges, like, for example, the problems of cooperation, resilience and national policies or unions. The meetings that we had with the government yesterday clearly show an alignment, that this that shows that this alignment actually exists, and I've no doubt that national parliament, and so I would appeal that this meeting be the basis of a deeper collaboration. And in the 45 seconds I'm still left with, I would like to talk about the SND group. We have the perspective that the Portuguese presidents has moved on to sort of European level. I was just sort of sailing against the winds, the energy transition with a digital transition and the social dimension. Now, this triangle combined together, and investing in this triangle, can give strategic relevance on a global scale, because we Europeans have to be leaders in the decarbonization, and we have to be leaders in a digital transition with a human face. It has to be centered on people, and we have to have a social system, value system, a protection system, and to the extent that we can be good and leaders at this level, we can be relevant and we can manage to get our strategic cooperation vis-a-vis the challenge. 2.5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos Zorrinho. Now I will pass on the floor to the National Parliament, and therefore I will pass on the floor to our colleague, Mr. Gabriel from the Chega Party. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to greet the chairman and the members of the European Parliament and everyone attending the meeting. It's really important for us to maintain these debates and contacts academic, national thoughts and European thoughts. So I would like to raise an issue, the need for us to safeguard institutional autonomy of universities, research, development, which is one of the most sensitive areas and matters because of the public funding from the state. Europe has to do with the quality of knowledge, and this quality of knowledge was born in the 18th century when we separated faith from reason, from church, from state. We continued, and today we have a problem, the problem of autonomy between the power, the politics, and on the other hand, the reason and the knowledge, given the funding. This to tell you that it is fundamental to have a focus, a greater investment in epistemologic matters. Why we know, what are the limits of knowledge, even because knowledge also makes mistakes and solves problems, but at the end creates other problems. So we have to have these discussions. We speak a lot about interdisciplinarity, transdisciplinarity, but we didn't go till the end. We still don't have an answer to this. This has to do with funding, development, okay, but also with philosophical, epistemological debate about knowledge. So I call you to make this reflection, to invest more in this type of discussion, which is a European discussion after all. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel. Now I will pass on the floor to colleague Ivas.
And thanks for receiving us in this beautiful chamber. Well, my question is going a little bit outside of the traditional remit of the industry and research. The question is about the institutional reform of the European Union, because we all know that all those challenges have already been mentioned. It's a COVID crisis, the war in Ukraine, which is still ongoing, energy prices, and also growing inequalities in the member states, and also not so splendid situation with the cohesion in the European Union among the member states. So, and there is a strong demand for more Europe in many ways, but nevertheless, there is also more a willingness to have more democratic input of citizens, of NGOs, and of communities in how Europe is being run. And that's why there is a lot of talk during the recent months about the institutional reform of the European Union, with a question how to make the decision-making more effective, more democratic, and more efficient. Well, I think in this process, the role of national parliaments is really big, because national parliaments are very often much closer to the citizens, and that's why it would be interesting to hear what are your opinions on issues that have been discussed just recently in the Conference of the Future of Europe, like unanimity in foreign policy, transnational lists, and treaty changes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ivars. Dou agora a palavra ao...
Now I'll pass on the floor to the Portuguese colleague from the group Liberal Initiative, Mr. Carlos Guimarães Pinto. The floor is yours. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dear members of Parliament.
In our Parliament, please accept my warm welcome on behalf of Iniciativa Liberal. A special welcome, of course, to our colleagues from Renew Europe. It's a honor to have you here. We are particularly concerned about energy dependence. We would really, this last month, have put a strong focus on the importance of energy independence. And your committee has made a press release on an agreement that seeks to make it mandatory for EU member states to have a minimum of 80% of their annual gas consumption in storage by November 1st. This came after you announced first that minimum level would be 90%, and that led to an increase in prices from around 70 euros per megawatt hour to 210, actually benefiting gas producers such as Russia. Later on, when we retreated to the 80% mark, prices dropped to 108. My question is, I'd like to understand this, is even though we understand the aim of the well-intentioned gas storage policies, how do you expect to circumvent all these price hikes that tend to benefit the producers? Do you believe this will be fulfilled, meaning the countries will actually be able to do this? And do you think this type of market intervention of information may cause more harm than good? And after all, national governments are informed, and most certainly they are on the lookout, and they have to preserve their own national interests. So they will indeed have incentives by themselves to have some type of level of storage. Many of them will probably have it above 80 or 90%. So don't you believe that the fact that these announcements are made might be counterproductive, and do you think the national governments by themselves would be able to do this storage in any case? Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Muito obrigado, Carlos Guimarães.
Thank you. Now I'll pass on the floor to our colleague and co-chair, Mr. Zizit, from the group Conservatives.
Question, but maybe into discussion. As a first about geopolitics, yeah. So we rediscovered the geopolitics as a geopolitical reality, and we rediscovered that energy, especially energy, but also other policy, is geopolitics. And we discovered also the dependence. Dependency was not very popular. Dependency is a problem because dependency limits the freedom. Also, national dependency limits the freedom, yeah, but also our European dependency. And, you know, it's a war changed everything, and we feel this in Poland probably stronger than you in Portugal. You know. Just to remember you that nuclear attack or conventional attack on one of the NATO member states is still possible, yeah, in every day, every means, and it will change everything, you know, also what we are doing. My country received 3 million of refugees. Yeah. You see, a country which was had the opinion that we do not like to receive refugees, we absorb 3 million people without biggest problem, and many of them, they do not like to go further to west. You know, they prefer to stay in Poland, not to go in Germany, even if Germany is much more affluent country. So it's the city of my city where I live in Warsaw grew by 70% in 2 months, you know, 17%. So it's there are challenges, but they are manageable. Yeah. So it's in a way, it's a very, very optimistic, but we have to think about this dependency, the autonomy also in relation to China. We have to change our policy generally, and in this context, we also discussed the storage. I was in the negotiation committee, and I had the same problem as you had. On the end, I must say this is not secret. My political group will hesitate to support this compromise because it's actually it's growing dependency on Russian gas in the next months. Yeah. So I know the reality, but it is very, very difficult. So it's, this is the first remark. The second remark is concerning experience we had here. So I must say I was very impressed when I heard from Minister of Science and Climate what you are doing. And for me, Europe is a Europe of nations, diversity, different histories, different sensibilities, also political culture. We have to have much more respect, you know, to difference in political culture of the country. And I think how productive it would be to learn more for each other, For instance, we could from Portugal learn as your intention of and reality of transformation, energy transformation is, of course, very impressive. But we have also to take into account the diversity of the nature, of geographic diversity. We have not so much sun as you have. So this would be the I think, when we see more Europe, like colleague Ivers said, Ivers, I would say more Europe, but more Europe, this means also this reflection of the diversity, of the dependency, and also on geographic condition and political condition we have in our country. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Diesel.
Thank you. Now I will pass on the floor to my colleague, Viana Ferreira, from the Communist Party in Portugal. Thank you, Chair. And I would like to also greet on behalf of our political party, the European Parliament's Industry Research and Energy Committee, and also all the other committees that are attending this meeting. Considering the time available for us to speak, we would like to mention concerns within the scope of energy and something that the European Commission committee here follows. From the Portuguese Communist Party, we didn't follow up the entire energy policy from the European Union, but also the interests and strategies from multinationals that take the domination of this sector, considering the renewable energies that operate in several countries, and also leading the economic, social, environmental processes. Portugal has a number of energy resources which are favorable, with a relevant potential for the production of renewable energies, including energies alongside the coast, energy resources that should be safeguarded, oriented to the national environmental policy, and also increasing the quality of life of populations, which in our opinion can only be achieved with democratic public management in the ownership and control from the Portuguese state. And then just to tell you about the scientific research. For us, what is important in research and innovation, it's important to say that we need to give conditions to workers' stability and conditions for them to be able to do scientific production. And sharing of scientific knowledge should also be at the service of humanity, peace, well-being, and health of peoples. When they don't have obstacles, where they don't have obstacles to these policies. Thank you very much, Diana. Now I will pass on the floor to the European Parliament. The colleague Dan Dicker has the floor now.
I'd like to say I'm happy to meet the Portuguese members of the Portuguese Parliament. I'm from Romania, only 10 kilometers from the Ukrainian border. That's my home city. And by the way, we have a nice presence of the Portuguese military in Romania. So the people there, they can hear and see actually how the war is going on the Odessa region. I have two problems. One, how do you deal with the price increase on the ongoing project financed with the EU money? At least in Romania have a big problem because the prices have increased for steel 3 times, cement 2 times, so long and so far. And I think that you as a Portuguese Parliament, you already receive complaints from the companies who are already working on the projects. Either you stop them or either you readjust the prices. What was your solution? That will be my first question. And the second one, I'm curious about the Repower EU and the need to readjust your recovery and resilience plan. When do you plan to do that, and how do you plan to do it And do you stick only with the energy area of the your recovery resilience plan, or you also do you foresee to modify some other pillars? Because I suspect that your recovery resilience plan was prepared somewhere in 2020, the latest, and the conditions of 2022, they might be slightly different from the conditions in 2020. How do you plan to do that? And once again, thank you so much for receiving us.
Muito obrigado, Dan.
Thank you very much, Dan. I'd now like to give the floor to the Rui Tavares from the Livre Party and former MEP. For those who don't know, Livre is a party that would be in the European Green faction, a bench in the European Parliament. As Bala says, I was an MEP at the time with the report of the reinstallation of refugees, and we can see that there are countries that receive millions of refugees. We should thank them for this, but we have to think how important that the European Council had made the effort to create a true reinstallation programme. And so at that time, it was Greece and others, and there were countries that didn't realise they were going to receive this inflow, and they were going to need European solidarity. We're all interdependent, and the quicker we launch Europe and what has to be European and has to continue to be European, the better, or the easier we find strategic autonomy for our continent, which is independent as well. With this war, we have to do two things. That is that the Green is to isolate Putin, and it's to isolate homes thermally, to guarantee the low energy bill, and to make and to give work to those who renew these houses. Now, the political isolation of Putin and so the committee would be, like he said, would be interesting to promote, for example, those who want to leave Russia. There are many scientists that we can welcome here in Europe. So the to all these schemes of reinstallation and to welcome scientists from the European and from the Russian Federation would be an extremely important job for the European Union. Our universities, after breakfast, we see the European Union lost many universities that were in the top of international ranking. China has a higher budget for higher education than the whole of the European Union. And so why don't we have universities so that we can receive these scientists who pursue these universities, and we can, and this will sort of bridge the gap of the development, and so that we can create true universities of the Union, how could they could be at the top of international rankings. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Rui. Now I'd like to give the floor to our colleague, Christian Ehler, from the EPP group.
I try to make it a dialogue and to answer to the question of my distinguished colleagues on storage prices, the way the ITRE committee is acting. Obviously, yeah, you're right. If we would be in a classical market situation, it wouldn't be very wise from the leading committee, and we play a really important role in legislation, to refer to prices, to storage, and so on and so. But this is the end of, I'm in the committee for 18 years. When I started in that committee, we started to talk about the strategic reserve in Europe, about interconnectivity, about the question of the sustainability of supply. And we hadn't been good for 18 years on that. So what you see now is more and more an emergency measure We failed. We failed for almost two decades. I mean, I don't have to remember you the connections of the Iberic Peninsula to France and to Central Europe. We talk about that for 20 years. We wanted to have it. Then the market said, no, now it's not really interesting to invest. Now we desperately need that because it could be also part of your export strategy in terms of hydrogen. So what we are doing now is we are acting in times of emergency. And you're perfectly right, that has very problematic effects on markets if we act like that, but we are in an emergency. And what I would like just also reflect on that had been said before, I mean, we legislators, we are challenged in a way never seen before, you and us. We have to understand that how we get from that very abstract level of legislation we are going to do on Fit for 55, how we translate that in the national realities. Does that fit for everyone? And you have to anticipate that practically we talk about 2030, but what doesn't happen in 22 or 23 won't be there in 2030. I give you an example. Without more higher education, university, your integration in the European research program, you won't be in the consortias, you won't have the needed level of engineers and so. So practically, you have to anticipate 2030, but making decisions for the next and the year after, and we have to break down the abstract complexity of legislation we are envisaged for 2030 to your realities. And that's the reason why we should work much more intensively together. Thank you.
Thank you, Christian. Dou agora a palavra.
Thank you very much, Christian. Now I'd like to give the floor from the Socialist Group, Alexander Quintanilla. Good morning to everybody. I've already said good morning to everybody. I'd like to just stress an idea. Now, we talked about emergency, for example. We are in a situation of emergency, but I think the challenges that we are faced with this moment reinforce the importance of the trust that we have to have, not only in knowledge, but in Europe. This question of trust that the pandemic reinforced in Portugal and the climate change demand, and that some of the realities demand, and the overall political situation in Europe also requires that. This is fundamental. And I would like to talk to you very briefly about what the Education and Science Committee has done so that the results of this, the latest Eurobarometer, I mean, that came out that showed that Portugal is in first place, not only in terms of the idea of the curiosity for knowledge, but the importance of knowledge to solve problems that society is faced with. These are a number of extraordinary results that Portugal appears in first place, not only among the 27 European countries, but the another 11 regions as well. And the Education and Science Committee has made a great investment in this question of trust, increasing trust. I'm going to give you three examples. Those are the science encounters that we have been making for decades that involves the whole innovative community in the country. They meet for 3 days. The cafe sciences, science cafes that we bring in to the parliament, bring scientists together with parliamentarians, other people who come and discuss the different topics. This is the 19th SFs and young parliamentarians, which is an extraordinary relative, where there are over 1,000 schools are involved, and there are questions that are discussed at this time, the question of fake news, for example, and the question of democracy, the question of climate change. All of this are forms of bringing the knowledge not only to the population in general and give them more confidence, but to the parliament in general. And that is what I wanted to bring here as practical examples that can be carried out and then actually watch. And actually work, as we can see from Eurobarometer. Thank you very much, Alexandra. I'm still going to give the opportunity to two colleagues from the European Parliament and one from the National Parliament to use the floor, even though we're running out of time. Benno Weiss from the EDP group.
Thank you so much. Chair, and thank you for welcoming us this morning for a very, very important exchange of views. I have a very short question in regards to energy efficiency. As I understood, or maybe I did it very literally yesterday from the Minister of Energy and Environment, energy efficiency potential and the interest among Portuguese is not that high. But we really need everybody, every country in the EU to contribute to the energy savings because the energy demand is increasing, no matter the situation in Ukraine, but also that there are so many externalities coming from decarbonization, from energy efficiency. So I would like to know, because I'm the shadow rapporteur on the energy efficiency directive's recast, seen from the Portuguese government's position, what are the missing tools, maybe flexibilities, maybe missing incentives, et cetera, for this recast in order to also secure that Portugal is contributing to the energy efficiency obligations laid in the recast that will be hopefully negotiated very fast? I'm very curious to learn about that. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Pernil.
Thank you very much, Pernil. And now I'd like to give the floor to the Portuguese MP, António Topa Gomes. Chair, Presidents, and members of the European Parliament, Sir, I would like to talk about confidence and another aspect. That is the metric of our objectives. This is enthusiastic about the investigation space, European investigation space, but we have a great difficulty in working with the industry. And so the European Union tells us about one of the main problems is creating a partnerships, public and private partnerships with industry, so as Europe can be a true leader in Europe. The first question that we can deal with. I think that it's not enough to have ambitious objectives, that is to increase investments in investment, because Europe has a great problem of inequalities between member states, and that should be a concern for Europe. Well, energy savings, some in scientific terms, it could be successful when we reach this situation. We are in a situation where we are very dependent, and once again, we have to find out what we're doing properly, what we're not doing properly. Are we monitoring our policies properly? And finally, very quickly, about digital transition, which we want to recuperate with the Recovery and Resilience Plan. In 2012, we seem to be in the front line, but at this moment, in Portugal is lagging behind. In the 5G network and digital code, I think there's a difficulty here between regulations and innovation. And so Europe seems to have an excess of rules, the weight of regulations, which is antagonic to innovation. How can we deal with this? Thank you very much, António. And to last intervention from the European Parliament, I would like to give the floor to our colleague Robert Heisel from the SND Group.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for this exchange of views, which is, I think, very constructive and is inspiring us. Also, because it's very important to have also the views from the member states, because they, on their shoulder, is how to respond to this crisis and what measures have to be taken. I think that the discussion about the energy prices, about the gas storage, is something which is very, very interesting. And the question of energy dependency, and also on the Russian supplies, but it's also linked to the, I would say, energy security as a whole. I would say that the leaders, I mean the heads of governments and states, have to discuss next week. And I think that one
of the way how to respond to this risk of energy supplies disruption is also to conclude kind of energy European energy contingency plan and to have solidarity agreements between the member states. Here, for example, I think that the Portugal and the member states which are more progressive on deployment of the renewables and are more independent, I would say, energetically from the third suppliers can really help a lot to the countries like mine, Slovakia, Hungary, or Czech Republic, or Austria, which are really remotely from all the sea, from all the LNG terminals. So I would also like to hear your statement, your view on this kind of solidarity agreement, whether it can function, because we are EU, we have to be united, even if we are diverse, but we have to be united and help each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. E para última intervenção.
And for one last presentation by the National Parliament, I will pass on the floor to Mr. Pinheiro. Be short, please. Thank you. I greet all the members of Parliament. Dear members of Parliament, Portugal is now ending the putting in place of the climate basic law. We are oriented to the carbon measures. And from the energy point of view, the three main sectors, energy, transports, and industry, what is our concern today is to understand how we will be able in an effective way to introduce renewable energies. We cannot fail to discuss what happens or not happens with the use of the nuclear over the next months because it makes a difference in strategic plans, namely in Europe and in Portugal to this matter. Everything related to energy storage, we have to bet on the development of the connection with the academy and development industry. TRLs in approving projects are really low regarding the next European framework. So to encourage the technology contribution to hydrogen areas or technologies such as the thermal solar energy, it is a debate that should be taken at public level. We should also strongly bet on the implementation of renewable technologies together with territorial management system. Today we live a time where to occupy space, to put in place renewable energy sometimes has to be conjugated with good plans and instruments of territorial management. And we should also understand the fair transition policy, readaptation of associating ourselves to more carbon technologies and to adapt production processes to the European industries to what are the introduction of hydrogen in production. We know very well that it is fundamental to understand in a democratic way how we will be able to be effective and to create opportunities to the European Union countries. Thank you, Ricardo. And like this, we are very close to finish our meeting. I would like to thank everyone. I will pass on the floor to my co-chairs for them to thank you as well, and to my colleague to do the closing session of our working meeting. Tiago, please. Well, thank you very much for your contributions from the European members of Parliament to the Portuguese members of Parliament. Next time, I would like to have at least 2 hours to this discussion for it to be beneficial, for us to be able to meet and answer the questions that you will raise. And next time you come, instead of going to the Lisbon City Council and to have a wonderful dinner, maybe you will be able to have a wonderful lunchtime here for us to combine it with socialization and working meeting. A good visit, and thank you very much to all of you. I will be very short as well. Well, thank you. After an hour of conversation and interventions, I would really enjoy spending the whole morning and this having discussions, and this didn't happen. We have discussed very important topics, energy, challenges, emergency, and Alexander Catanilla spoke about trust associated to commitment, cooperation, key matters to Europe and to the Portuguese as well. Thank you very much to you for your contributions, and I hope you will enjoy Portugal. I'm sure you will enjoy the visit. But more than that, bring our challenges and the concerns Portuguese have in several topics. Thank you very much, and a wonderful day and a good work in the European Parliament. Thank you, Alexander. I really agree with what they said, so thank you very much. And now, for the closing session, I will pass on the floor to my colleague.
Very interesting discussion. It's regrettable that it is so short, but I think we are all convinced that it is necessary. We probably have to meet, we European parliamentarians, with the national parliaments on a regular basis, yeah? Because I think this is the way to build up the Europe we actually all wish. So thank you very much. I'm very impressed. And for me, this was especially a pleasure to meet Alexander, because he has so deep knowledge about Polish literature and theater. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I wish you all a good day and a good mandate as well. Thank you very much. Uma foto.